Hello, readers. Welcome to the 2016-2017 Be a Reader book. The book this year is one of my very favorites of all time. It's called The Tale of Despereau. Being the story of a mouse, a princess, some soup, and a spool of thread. Written by Kate DiCamillo. Chapter 1. The Last One. Book the First, A Mouse is Born. This story begins within the walls of a castle, with the birth of a mouse, a small mouse, the last mouse to be born to his parents and the only one of his litter to be born alive. "Where are my babies?" said the exhausted mother when the ordeal was through. "Show to me my babies." The father mouse, held one small mouse up high. "There is only one," he said. "The others are dead."
"Mon Dieu!
Just the one mouse baby?"
"Just the one.
Will you name him?"
"All of that work for nothing," said the mother.
She sighed. "It is so sad. It is such a disappointment." She was a French mouse who had arrived at the castle long ago in the luggage of a visiting French diplomat. Disappointment was one of her favorite words. She used it often.
"Will you name him?" repeated the father. "Will I name him? Will I name him? Of course I will name him. But he will only die like the others. Oh, so sad. Oh, such a tragedy."
The mother mouse held a handkerchief to her nose and then waved it in front of her face. She sniffed.
"I will name him. Yes,
I will name this mouse Despereau, for all the sadness, for the many despairs in this place. Now, where is my mirror?" Her husband handed her a small shard of mirror. The mouse mother, whose name was Antoinette, looked at her reflection and gasped.
"Atulisse!"
she said to one of her sons.
"Get me my makeup bag. My eyes are a fright."
While Antoinette touched up her eye makeup, the mouse father put Despereau down on a bed made of blanket scraps. The April sun, weak but determined, shone through a castle window and from there squeezed itself through a small hole in the wall and placed one golden finger on the little mouse. The other older mice children gathered around to stare at Despereau.
"His ears are too big," said his sister Merlot. "Those are the biggest ears I've ever seen."
"Look," said his brother Furlough. "His eyes are open, Pa. His eyes are open. They shouldn't be open."
It is true. Despereau's eyes should not have been open, but they were. He was staring at the sun reflecting off his mother's mirror. The light was shining onto the ceiling in an oval of brilliance, and he was smiling up at the sight.
"There's something wrong with him," said the father.
"Leave him alone."
Despereau's brothers and sisters stepped back, away from the new mouse.
"This is the last," proclaimed Antoinette from her bed. "I will have no more mice babies. They are such a disappointment. They are hard on my beauty. They ruin for me my looks. This is the last one. No more."
"The last one?" said the father.
"And he'll be dead soon. He can't live. Not with his eyes open like that."
But reader, he did live. And this is his story. Chapter 2. Such a disappointment. Despereau Tilling lived, but his existence was cause for much speculation in the mouse community.
"He's the smallest mouse I've ever seen," said his aunt Florence. "It's ridiculous. No mouse has ever, ever been this small, not even a Tilling."
She looked at Despereau through her narrow eyes as if she expected him to disappear entirely.
"No mouse," she said again.
"Ever." Despereau, his tail wrapped around his feet, stared back at her.
"Those are some big ears he's got, too," observed his Uncle Alfred.
"They look more like donkey ears, if you ask me."
"They are obscenely large ears," said Aunt Florence.
Despereau wiggled his ears.
His Aunt Florence gasped.
"They say he was born with his eyes open," whispered Uncle Alfred.
Despereau stared hard at his uncle.
"Impossible," said his Aunt Florence. "No mouse, no matter how small or obscenely large-eared, is ever born with his eyes open. It simply isn't done."
"His paw, Lester, he's not well," said Uncle Alfred. Despereau sneezed.
"Achoo!"
He said nothing in defense of himself. How could he? Everything his aunt and uncle said was true. He was ridiculously small. His ears were obscenely large. He had been born with his eyes open, and he was sickly. He coughed and sneezed so often that he carried a handkerchief in one of his paws at all times. He ran temperatures. He fainted at loud noises. Most alarming to all, he showed no interest in the things a mouse should show interest in. He did not think constantly of food. He was not intent on tracking down every crumb. While his larger, older siblings ate, Despero stood with his head cocked to one side, holding very still. "Do you hear that sweet sound?" he said. "I hear the sound of cake crumbs falling out of people's mouths and hitting the floor," his brother Tulis said. "That's what I hear." "No," said Despero. "It's something else. It sounds like, honey." "You might have big ears," said Tulis, "but they're not attached right to your brain. You don't hear honey. You smell honey. When there's honey to smell, which there isn't." "Son," barked Despero's father, "snap to it. Get your head out of the clouds and hunt for crumbs." "Please," said his mother, "look for the crumbs. Eat them to make your mama happy. You're such a skinny mouse. You're such a disappointment to your mama." "Sorry," said Despero. He lowered his head and sniffed the castle floor. But reader, he was not smelling. He was listening with his big ears to the sweet sound that no other mouse seemed to hear. Chapter 3. Once Upon a Time. Despero's siblings tried to educate him in the ways of being a mouse. His brother Furlough took him on a tour of the castle to demonstrate the art of scurrying. "Move side to side," instructed Furlough, scrambling across the waxed castle floor. "Look over your shoulder at all times, first to the right, then to the left. Don't stop for anything." But Despero wasn't listening to Furlough. He was staring at the light pouring in through the stained glass windows of the castle. He stood on his hind legs, held his handkerchief over his heart, stared up, up, up into the brilliant light. "Furlough," he said, "what is this thing? What are all these colors? Are we in heaven?" "Cripes," shouted Furlough from the front corner. "Don't stand there in the middle of the floor talking about heaven. Move! You're a mouse, not a man. You've got to scurry." "What?" said Despero, still staring at the light. But Furlough was gone. He had, like a good mouse, disappeared into a hole in the molding. Despero's sister Merlot took him into the castle library, where light came streaming in through tall, high windows and landed on the floor in brilliant yellow patches. "Here," said Merlot, "follow me, small brother, and I will instruct you on the fine points of how to nibble paper." Merlot scurried up a chair and from here hopped onto a table on which there sat a huge open book. "This way, small brother," she said as she crawled onto the pages of the book. And Despero followed her from the chair to the table to the page. "Now then," said Furlough, "this glue here is tasty. And the number edges are crunchy and yummy like so." She nibbled the edge of a page and then looked over at Despero. "You try," she said. "First a bite of some glue and then follow it with a crunch of paper. And these squiggles are very tasty." Despero looked down at the book and something remarkable happened. The marks on the pages, the squiggles, as Merlot referred to them, arranged themselves into shapes. The shapes arranged themselves into words, and the words spelled out a delicious and wonderful phrase, "Once upon a time." "Once upon a time," whispered Despero. "What?" said Merlot. "Nothing." "Eat," said Merlot. "I couldn't possibly," said Despero, backing away from the book. "Why?" Said Despero, "it would ruin the story." "The story? What story?" Merlot stared at him. A piece of paper trembled at the edge of one of her indignant whiskers. "Just like Pa said when you were born, something is not right with you." She turned and scurried from the library to tell her parents about the latest disappointment. Despero waited until she was gone, and then he reached out and with one paw touched the lovely words, "Once upon a time." He shivered. He sneezed. He blew his nose into his handkerchief. "Once upon a time," he said aloud, relishing the sound, and then tracing each word with his paw, he read the story of a beautiful princess, a brave knight who serves and honors her.
Despero did not know it, but he would need very soon to be brave himself. Have I mentioned that beneath the castle there was a dungeon, and in the dungeon there were rats, large rats, mean rats? Despero was destined to meet those rats. Reader, you must know that an interesting fate, sometimes involving rats, sometimes not, awaits almost everyone, mouse or man, who does not conform.